sage Kaushik sitting there, and they knew about his vow. They knew that he would not lie. He had taken a vow. So they asked him, "Have you seen, O sage, some people running by this way? We know that you have taken a vow to not speak a lie and to always speak the truth. So please tell us the truth. Have you seen these people going, and where have they gone?" So the sage, he pointed in the correct direction. So the dacoits, they caught up with those people and they killed them and took away their belongings. And sage Kaushik had to go to hell when he died. So Krishna said, "See, my dear Arjuna, he spoke the truth. He kept his vow that he would speak the truth, and he spoke the truth, but that truth became a falsehood for him. Because in his speaking the truth, he caused far greater damage. He caused the loss of so many lives. So many innocent people lost their lives because he was attached to his vow of speaking the truth." So actually it's an egoistic conception. And Krishna showed how to give up that false egoistic conception by demonstrating to us that he was ready to break his vow that he would not lift a weapon in the battlefield, but in order to save Arjuna, his devotee, and in order to protect his devotee's vow that his devotees will never perish. Name bhaktaha pranashyati. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna broke his own vow to protect his devotee's vow. So Krishna doesn't stand on these formalities. Not that we should take vows casually and whimsically just break vows. But these are extreme cases, but which are very instructive cases. So see the difference here. Speaking the truth turned out to be a devastation, it turned out to be a tragedy, it turned out to be adharmic, it turned out to be sinful. You've all heard of Rabindranath Tagore. He was a Nobel Prize winning poet and dramatist and songwriter and many things. There was also another famous writer who was his contemporary, his senior contemporary, called Bankim Chandra Chatterjee. He also wrote many famous books, including the Anandamath, which has this famous song, Vande Mataram. Yes? So he had written a book, Bankim Chandra, called Krishna Charita, in which he mentioned this particular episode from the Mahabharata. And Bankim Chandra, he wasn't a devotee, although he wrote this book, and his name is Krishna's name, Bankim Chandra. Bankim means one who's bent in three ways. But he wasn't a devotee. In this case, he happened to agree with Krishna, but not necessarily that he would agree with everything Krishna said. So in this case, he agreed with Krishna that Krishna was right in condemning Kaushik's action of speaking the truth. He should have spoken a lie and sent the dacoits on some other road. Send them up the garden path on the wild goose chase somewhere else. And in this way he would have saved the lives of these innocent people. So that was the conclusion he reached. And he made his comment in his book, Krishna Charita. However, Rabindranath Tagore heard about this. And he, with all respect, with respectful words, he said that the respectable Bankim Chandra is wrong. Falsehood is always falsehood. Falsehood can never be truth in any circumstance. Then Bankim Chandra asked him, "So is it okay to let innocent people die like this?" He said, "No." "Then what is the solution?" Bankim Chandra asked him. "What should sage Kaushik have done in that condition? What should he have said?" So Rabindranath Tagore replied, "Sage Kaushik should have said, 'I know where they have gone, but I will not tell you.'" Then Bankim Chandra said, but is that practical? And then I don't know what further discussion happened. So we see here an example of how speaking the truth actually became such a big lie, became adharma. So there are cases when speaking the truth becomes falsehood. So we should have that discrimination and the wisdom to understand this. At the same time, it is important once again to reiterate that we cannot be whimsical about not speaking the truth. These are very extreme cases, but they're meant to drive home this point. The second instance is the opposite, when falsehood becomes truth. In the first case, it was truth that became falsehood. And in the second case, it is falsehood becoming truth. It's the story of Yudhishthir Maharaj. You all know that he was Dharmaraj, and he never spoke a lie. He adhered to the principles of Dharma very rigidly, and everybody respected him for that. Now, Dronacharya, the guru of the Kauravas and Pandavas, was wreaking havoc on the Pandava army. There was no one who could come face to face with Karna and defeat him, Drona and defeat him. At the beginning of the battle, Yudhishthir Maharaj had gone to Bhishma and to Kripacharya, to Dronacharya, to beg their blessings so that he could emerge victorious. Blessings to fight, first of all. And then he asked them, please tell me, how may I kill you? What is the way in which I can kill you? See, the Kshatriya ways are very strange by today's standards. Because Yudhishthira knew that there is no other way to kill these people. Bhishma and Drona cannot be killed unless they agree to be killed. So they have to tell me the method by which they can be killed. So Bhishma said, I can never be killed. I'll die only when I want to die. But ask me this question later, was Yudhishthira. Later during the battle, one of these days, I'll tell you. And that's a different story. When it came to Drona, Drona said, you cannot defeat me so long as my weapons are upraised. It is only when I put down my weapons that I can be defeated, that I can be overcome. And I'll put down my weapons only when my son Ashwatthama is dead. Because he was very attached to his son, Ashwatthama. So Yudhishthira knew this. Krishna, of course, knew it. So when Dronacharya was wreaking havoc, Krishna said to Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira Maharaj, there is only one way you can do this. And that is, you have to tell Dronacharya that his son Ashwatthama has died. How can I do that? Yudhishthira Maharaj hesitated. Meanwhile, Bhima, no hesitation. He went and killed an elephant called Ashwatthama with his mace. And then he loudly declared, Ashwatthama is dead, Ashwatthama is dead. Bhima's roar was heard by Dronacharya. But Dronacharya could not have complete confidence in Bhima. So he wanted to confirm this by asking Yudhishthira Maharaj, because he knew that Yudhishthira would never lie. So he asked Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira, is this true what I heard? Has Ashwatthama died? So Yudhishthira Maharaj replied, of course there are varying phrases that are used in different, in tradition and in the scripture in the Mahabharata. Ashwatthama hataha narova punjarova. He said, Ashwatthama has died, but whether it is the human or the elephant, that I don't know. But the second part he said softly. In some versions it says, Ashwatthama hata kunjara, saying the elephant. He said that softly in the second part. So technically he was still speaking the truth. You see, technically. But it's still a falsehood because it was said with the intention of deceiving somebody. Sometimes even keeping silent can be considered to be a falsehood. Suppose you know someone has killed somebody and somebody asks you, have you seen him killing somebody? You have seen him killing, but you keep quiet. So maunam sammati laksharam. Maunam means it's an assent. The silent, that means yes. So similarly, with deceit in mind, when you speak the truth and you cover up and you say half the truth and you say it in a soft way, so it was like a lie. And just at that time, when Yudhishthira was speaking about the kunjarava, the elephant, Krishna blew his conch. So the sound of kunjarava was drowned out. So the Dronacharya heard only Ashwatthama hataha, that Ashwatthama has died. So he lost all his will to live. So he sat down, he kept his weapons down and sat down to meditate. And his soul left his body in his meditation because he was also a powerful yogi. So his soul left his body, and then Drishtadyumna was the one who came and killed. Not killed actually, I'll correct myself. He attacked Dronacharya. Now sometimes this killing, people say he was killed unfairly, yes. But the fact is that Dronacharya was already dead when Drishtadyumna, the brother of Draupadi, attacked him and destroyed his body. Dronacharya's soul, by his own free will, by his yogic power, had already left the body. But in any case, so this was done. And Krishna had the role to play. And that is why, because of incidents like this, people misunderstand Krishna, because they don't know who he is. They don't understand the principles of Krishna consciousness. So then they criticize Krishna. So in this case, Yudhishthira spoke a lie. It is said that prior to this incident, Yudhishthira Maharaj's chariot, including the horses, were moving 4 inches above the ground because he was so pious. But after this incident, after he spoke this lie, the chariot touched the ground and was moving on the ground. It is also said that Yudhishthira Maharaj, after he departed from this world, before he ascended to the higher realms, had to go to hell for one moment. Now it is also said that actually this was a deception. He actually didn't go to hell, but he was shown hell. It was like an illusion of him being in hell. And he had to go through that suffering for that moment because of that one lie. However, from a Vaishnava point of view, we say that if at all Yudhishthira Maharaj had to have that glimpse of hell, even in deception, it was not because he lied. It was because he hesitated to lie. Why so? Because he was being instructed by Krishna to lie. Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth. His every word is the Supreme Absolute Truth. So when Krishna says, do an activity which may otherwise be considered immoral, if we do that on Krishna's instructions, that immoral activity will become supremely moral. On the other hand, if we are bound by understanding of mundane morality and we refuse to do what Krishna is asking us to do, then we will be guilty of a higher adharma. And that not following Krishna's instruction will be a greater offense or a greater sin. So in this case, Yudhishthira Maharaj was perfectly justified in speaking that lie, because Krishna is the personification, the embodiment of all truth, of all dharma. So therefore, whenever Krishna comes before us and tells us, you lie, we should lie. But if he doesn't come, then we can't lie. This is a very important point to remember. So we can't use all these episodes in the Mahabharata to justify whatever we want to do and say, Arjuna did it, Krishna did it, Yudhishthira Maharaj did it. No. So these subtle, complex aspects of dharma need to be considered. So in the case of sage Kaushik, truth became falsehood. In the case of Yudhishthira Maharaj, falsehood became truth. So these are the ways in our speech, when we're speaking, we should understand how to deal. But these are rare exceptions. Generally, we should abide both by absolute truth as well as by relative truth. Absolute truth means accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and glorifying Krishna. These are words of the absolute truth. They're absolutely true in all times, places and circumstances. And at the same time, we should also be meticulous to maintain relative truth as well. It is only in exceptionally rare cases can we take the liberty of compromising with relative truth. But that requires a lot of spiritual wisdom, and it is not a normal practice. But it was important to point this out, because these scriptural passages and episodes are sometimes misunderstood, misquoted, and used as justification for people's own wrong actions. So this is something about some complications when it comes to speaking truth. Satya, that was one of the aspects of austerity of speech that we spoke about. So you see, we are still discussing that verse. So tomorrow morning, we'll speak about other things. We'll hear about how truth can be spoken pleasingly, and we'll discuss the other aspects. So we'll continue tomorrow morning. And then in the afternoon session, or rather the late morning session, we will leave it open completely for questions. So we can have a discussion there. Practical things can also be discussed. Philosophical things pertaining to the topic can also be discussed. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much to everyone in Maharaji. It's been a long day. We do appreciate it. But we've got one last thing to do for today, and that is dinner prasadam. We will be serving that shortly. If I could... we've got a list of volunteer devotees who will be helping us serve with dinner prasadam. Which will come up. Next slide. Okay. So if I could request Jitendra Prabhu, Meshpata Prabhu, Prashant Shalendra Prabhu to please make your way out to help set up, and everyone else in the center and right row to actually help with the serving and the cleanup afterwards. If I can also, before everyone goes out, the two groups that won their respective performances. So one, in terms of the dance, not the drama, sorry, the role play, the Devaki Nandan group, are you still around, Devaki Nandan? Your prize will be, if you could come up and take a photo with Maharaji, we'll frame it up and give it to you tomorrow. So that's your prize for your wonderful performance. All the groups perform really well. And then in terms of the quiz, is the Mukunda group here as well? Okay, Mukunda group as well, if you could come up and take a photo with Maharaji as well, you'll get that tomorrow all framed up. And final reminder, in terms of the program schedule for tomorrow, just next slide. Next slide, Manju. Okay, so in terms of the agenda for tomorrow morning, we have Mangala Aarti at 5:30. That will be here in the main hall. We'll follow that up with Group Chapa at 6 o'clock. We then have Guru Aarti at 7 o'clock. And then Maharaj's first session for tomorrow will be from 7:30 till 9 o'clock. So if I could just request those two groups, winning groups, to make their way here, and then everyone else to please go to the Prasadam Hall for the Prasadam. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.